Well done. People are still getting it. A few weeks ago, we talked about prayer as our first resource and not our last resort, and the importance of creating a culture of prayer and how important it is for us to be strategic and thinking about praying and what we're praying into and how we're praying. The other week, I spoke about the priority of the prophetic and how important it is that we encase a culture of the prophetic, because the prophetic speaks hope over our circumstances, and out of the circumstances we find ourselves in, we cling to the promises of God and the hope that He has for us through the prophetic. It's what the words of God over and into us to declare hope and declare the future that's coming. And today we're going to have opportunity to share some testimonies in a little while, particularly from Saturate. So I want to give time and space to that. But before that, I want to just talk about the priority of the testimony and remind us again why we do this at Grace Point, why we make such a big deal about testimonies and try and create a culture around them and share them every opportunity we get. A testimony is a written or spoken record, in this case, of anything that God has done. So anything that we've seen God done is a testimony that we can share. A testimony is remembering and declaring what God has done in our past and what He's going to do in our midst. They're declarations. Testimonies are declarations of God's goodness in our life. They tell the story of when God showed up and of what happened when He showed up. The shepherds on the hills when Jesus came, or when the angels came, they had a testimony of God showing up and the goodness of that. The wise men, when they came to see Jesus after being born, they had a testimony of Jesus and His birth, and they went and told people, they shared it with others. And so testimonies of God connect generations to God's promises. We are still sharing testimonies today of things that happened back in Jesus' time and even before. We tell the story of the garden. We tell of what happened. When we tell of the story of Noah and we look and see a rainbow, we're telling the testimony of generations, thousands, hundreds of thousands of whatever years gone of Jesus, of God's love for us as a people and His covenant of love with us. That's what a rainbow talks about in the sky. That's a testimony. That's part of our inheritance of that. And so testimonies prophesy God's intent and His nature for all and everyone to hear. They're central. They're a key part of our culture as a church. And they're just a couple of things I want to share more specifically about that. Two great books I want to recommend to you from Bill Johnson called Strengthening Yourself in the Lord or Release the Power of Jesus, which really highlight some of the thoughts about testimony. And it shaped my thinking and some of what I'll share today from that. But testimonies focus first and foremost on remembering and showcasing God's goodness. Sometimes we hear testimonies and just go, wow, that's just amazing. And it's kind of like having to take a step back sometimes and say, why would God do that? And it's just simply a reminder sometimes of God's goodness to us. Sometimes I think we forget how good God is. And so we have to be reminded of that. To put testimonies in context, we as Christians need to remember that first and foremost, we are called as believers to represent God to man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." We speak for Christ every time we share a testimony of His goodness. It's a pretty easy way to tell someone else about Jesus, to tell them the story of what is happening in and through our life. Revelation 19 verse 10 says in the Passion Translation, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." It's the declaration of what God is wanting to do in us and through us now and in the future. Jesus, when He lived on earth, showed us it was impossible to represent God accurately with actually out demonstrating God's goodness and power. To represent God, we have to demonstrate His goodness and His power. Hence, miracles, signs and wonders are not something just for the spiritual elite. They're not something for pastors. They're not something for the anointed ones. The supernatural life is actually the normal Christian life, and that's available to every believer. And that's what we give testimony to. Testimonies reach deep inside of us to awaken God's call on us to release heaven on earth. You think about the amazing man that David was in the Psalms, in his example, in Psalm 119 and verse 111 from the New King James Version, he says, "I have inherited your testimonies forever, they are the joy of my heart. The testimonies are what brought joy to David's heart and enabled him to sustain and keep going. That means that every story, every miracle, every sign and wonder that God has ever performed is part of our story for us to share and partake in, because we're related to God and that makes him happen. The story of the man that was brought to Jesus, lowered through the roof and then healed, told to take his mat, get up and walk, that's part of our inheritance. The story of Legion, the one with many demons in him, that story, that deliverance, the story of deliverance, that's part of our inheritance. All the miracles in the New Testament are part of our inheritance. All the miracles in the Old Testament are part of our inheritance. And all the miracles you've experienced in your life, big or small, or you've seen or witnessed or heard testimony to, they are part of our inheritance. I remember praying for Gary's shoulder one day in church. Gary had cold shoulder. He could only lift his shoulder here. After we prayed, he could lift his arm up there. I remember praying for Glenn, who was a builder, who came to church one day to do some work. He wasn't a believer. I prayed for his knee. He could hardly walk. And when we left, he was dumbfounded that his knee had no pain and he could walk. I remember praying for a lady at a conference, and she could only kind of sit this far. And after we prayed for her and her knees, she could sit completely. I remember praying for other people's knees that were healed, or people's backs that were healed, or people's headaches that were gone, or people's relational issues, a whole bunch of things. I can list a whole lot of testimonies and just keep going with God's goodness invaded my world and their world at the same time, and they were healed. They are all part of my inheritance. I take them with me forever. I take them with me to the grave and beyond, because they're about who Jesus is and what Jesus did and what he did to just demonstrate the goodness of him and also the goodness and the character of God, his Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So testimonies actually reveal the nature of God. Bill Johnson says, "Testimonies of God are the tools that equip us to walk in our purpose, to demonstrate what he is like through the miraculous. First, they reveal the nature of God and how he does things his ways." Over the last month, just strangely enough, had a couple of plumbing problems at home, and I've extended my, I wouldn't call it expertise, but I've extended my repertoire of doing some plumbing things, which normally kind of cause me quite a bit of angst or nerve, because it's not my scene. I can clean the muck out of stuff, but fixing stuff... Anyway, I Googled a few things and read a few things and phoned a friend and got some help, like to actually fix the first thing and fix the other thing the other day. I had to go and get tools to fix them. And I had to go get my toolbox and bring it up, and I had to get the right tools for the right things. And without the tools, I couldn't fix the plumbing issues. I had to have tools to fix it, and the right tools at that. And here, this is in essence what Bill is saying, and what the essence of testimony is that testimonies of God are the tools to equip us to walk in our purpose, to demonstrate what he's like. Testimonies are like the screwdriver that helps us fix it or change something to make it right, to then help us to keep walking and keep the water keep flowing in the pipes, and it doesn't clog up and everything works as it should. They're kind of like testimonies of the tools that we have to help us keep walking out our purpose in life. So when we get stuck by a circumstance, we actually can draw on the inheritance we have of the testimony and go, hang on, I remember God's goodness invading my life there. That this circumstance is no different to that. God can invade that, and I can use that tool of the testimony and get past that and keep going. Does that make sense? That's, in a sense, what testimonies do. They reveal the nature of God to remind us of who God is, so that when we face a challenge, we don't focus on the challenge, we focus on the goodness and the majestic nature of God. So when we focus on that, then we realize the challenge is just very small, like grasshopper, like Caleb and Joshua when they went into the valley. The other 10 spies saw the giants and were massive, but Caleb and Joshua saw them as small, and we can take this land. Let's do it now. King David, again, in Psalm 119, verse 2, he says, "How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart." And in behind every testimony is a declaration of the character of God. They declare about God's love, about his kindness, about his power, his compassion, his steadfastness, his faithfulness, his awe, and the wonder amongst a whole host of other things. They're behind every testimony, however small or big we think that testimony is. Testimonies not only talk about the character of God, but they also create expectation of what God can do and who he wants to be for us. The Hebrew root word for testimony actually means do again. And so therefore, every record of what God has done in the past, in past generations, and what he's done in our life is a promise of what he wants to do again in our life and in others' life. It's because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Therefore, he's not changing. He wants to do the same things again. He wants to do even greater things than we believe in. And so when we fill our hearts and our minds with the record of what God has done through conversation, through sharing, through focusing, we sustain actually an awareness of the presence of God who invades the impossible. Testimonies show us what's possible with God. In other words, once we've heard a testimony, we can never say again, that's not possible. That's a very challenging thought. When you've seen someone healed of multiple sclerosis, you cannot say again and see someone with that and say, that's not possible. There's no way you can be healed. Or when you've seen someone healed of Parkinson's disease, or someone healed of cancer, or someone who's lame and they can get up and walk, or someone who's raised from the dead, or someone that's been healed of a tumor, or someone that's been healed of whatever, a headache or a relationship or a shoulder or a knee or whatever, we can't say anymore, that's not possible. That's the inheritance. So hang on a minute. I remember back in the file of my brain a testimony where that was healed. And so I'm going to claim that testimony and I'm going to step into that and I'm going to realize that there's an expectancy because God wants to do that time and time again. I may not see that happen, but I can still believe that it's happened. That's not my issue. I can't make it happen. So that's not my issue, not to step into it. My issue is to step in by faith and claim the testimony. I say, God, you did it once. Can you do it again? Sometimes it's about stepping in by faith. That's the issue that God wants us to wrestle with more so than, you know, we want the certainty. If I won't pray for this person unless I know for sure they're going to be healed because I'm a bit afraid of putting myself out there. You know, I want to know that it's all going to work out because I don't want to look like an idiot. I prayed for someone's back the other day and nothing happened. That's a prime opportunity. It was an unbeliever. I thought, this is great, God. I've been praying for this person for ages. This is a great opportunity for you just to break through right now. I've got it all mapped out in my head how it would work. I go pray for him. You heal his back. And he just says, wow, that's amazing. Tell me more about Jesus. And it's perfect. Here's a script, God. It didn't happen like that. I said, how's your back? He said, no different. I said, let me pray again. I said, how's your back? He said, no different. I said, well, I just trust God will continue to work on that and I'll keep praying for you. I didn't get it. But that's not for me to get. It's to step in and keep praying. But did it still reveal the character of God? Absolutely. Because I still stepped into the love and compassion of God to care for this person and to want to pray for them and see them healed. And I'm still praying for them and I'm still looking for that opportunity to see that take place. The key part in testimonies is the declaration of what God has done. And that's why it's so important to speak out our testimonies, to declare them, to not just hold them inside, not just to journal about them, but to speak them out and declare them out loud. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the word of God. And testimonies are as much as the word of God, as scripture is the word of God, as prophecies are the word of God. And so we need to declare that. We need to speak it out loud, so that people increase their faith because they've heard the word of God. The prophetic anointing is released when we actually declare the testimony. And so then at Grace Point, what we want to do is create a culture of sharing testimony. We want to declare or we want to keep the testimony alive by sharing it in our personal lives and sharing it in church and with our family. You know, if we hear a great testimony, we want to share that. I know for myself, I want to share that with my family. I want to share it with my friends. I want to share it with church. I want to share it with other people because I want them to hear how good God is. And it's easy just to share that about that. I want them to know, I want my family to know that that was not a coincidence. That was not a fluke. That was not just random. That was God's goodness invading our lives right there and then. That gift of money, that happening, that healing, that story, that is the goodness of God. I want you to recognize that and know what it's like. I want you to experience that. Don't think that just, oh, that was nice. That was just, oh, isn't that funny that that happened and that happened? No, that was intentionally a divine invasion of God. And let's keep telling that story time and time again. In our family, over recent times, we've on some of our more successful holidays, we've taken time to gather all our photos together and put it together in a photo book. Our most recent one was of New Zealand a few weeks before, in February last year, before COVID hit, and Marguerite put all our photos together, and we got a book. So if you come around our house, I can just sit you down and show you our like Apple book of just all our photos of our trip and just walk you through our photo. And what each one of those books is, we've got different books for different holidays, from Hong Kong when we spent with Bill and Judy, and road trips we took with our camper trailer and other things. Every one of those books is a testimony of that holiday that we took. They're a record of where we went, who we saw, what we did, how much fun we had. And we can look back on those books and we can go, remember that, remember that, remember that? That was awesome. Oh, what was the name of that place again? Oh, that was fantastic. So good. In the same way, I hope that we develop a culture at Grace Point where we gather, in a sense, books of our testimonies of our life. We go, remember when God did that? Remember when God did that? Oh, yeah, remember that happened. Remember that person that got healed? Oh, remember that gift of money? Oh, remember that? Oh, and we just keep talking about the goodness of God and remembering his goodness and remembering. That's, in a sense, what the Bible is full of, testimony of God. But we can also have our personal record of that. And that's why we want to be intentional about creating an atmosphere or a culture that shares testimony in church, in our life groups, in one-on-ones, in places that we find ourselves gathering around a table or having meals together with each other, those kinds of things. We want to share those testimonies. If you don't have a testimony to share, I want to encourage you to get your smartphone and download an app called the Increase app. Just Increase app. And it's an app that's been developed by some people, and it's just full of testimonies. That's all it is, testimonies about God. You can download the app. You can then click on whichever kind of category you want to click on. You can encourage yourself if you're struggling with finances. You can find a financial testimony to download and say, hey, there's the goodness of God. I'm going to draw on the goodness of God there through that testimony. If you're struggling with sickness, you can find the category healing and find a healing testimony, or just all different testimonies on there. So if you don't have your own, Google that, download the app, and you'll find some awesome testimonies on the Increase app. I encourage us, Grace Point, to build expectation, to email our testimonies to each other, to put them on Facebook sites or Instagram or Twitter, or SMS them, post them, take photos of them. Every time we do that, we're declaring the goodness, the nature, the character of God, and just sharing our inheritance with others. Psalm 119 verse 99 says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my medication. They are our medication as well as our meditation. Biblical meditation, remember, is about filling our mind with the things of God. It's not about emptying our mind of everything. It's actually about meditating on the goodness of God. Meditation was around way before the New Age got to it and emptied it. So I just encourage you to think about that. So this morning, don't just want to talk about testimonies, but I want to give us opportunity to share about them, particularly through Saturate. I hope that you enjoyed Saturate, and it was a revealing time for you. I just thought the videos were sensational, and so they're still on our Grace Point YouTube channel. If you haven't watched any of them yet, then they won't be shutting them off. They'll be there so you can continue to go back and watch them. When you want to watch them as many times as you like and catch up with them, they're all there. So Grace Point YouTube channel, make sure you Google Grace Point Christian Church, because there are other Grace Point churches, so you could end up watching something else from another church. But you'll see our Saturates, and they're numbered 1 to 21. A couple of things about as we share testimonies. Remember, the testimony we share is about God's goodness. It's not about us. So when we share a testimony, I just encourage you, share a testimony that focuses on the goodness of God and what Jesus has done. The details, yeah, they connect. But the details are not that important as to who Jesus is and what he's done. That's what we really want to focus on. So draw that out more than I walked in the room and the wall was blue and the carpet was grey and the lights were shining and there was a rainbow in the sky. Like if that has something to do with what Jesus does, sure, share it. But if it doesn't, then just kind of cut to the chase about who Jesus is, what he's done, what he came through for you, how he came through for you and who wants to be for you. Make Jesus the focus, not us the details. Now, I need to remind us it's a new day and a new season for us. So, yes, we are still live streaming. So this morning, when I checked earlier in the service, there's still over a dozen, maybe even more people who are still watching. Some of those people in our church still don't feel safe because they're vulnerable health-wise to get out, and they don't feel ready yet to still mix in public, and that's okay. And now we've learnt through streaming, we actually find that some people are sick or some people are working, and so we're providing another way for a means of people to be able to access our service, which is awesome and great that we can all do that. Some of us can be here live, which is fantastic, and then some who can't still have access to what we're doing. So I want to encourage you, yes, we will be filmed, but I want to encourage you, don't let the fear of being filmed distract you from sharing the testimony of Jesus. If the testimony is about Jesus and Jesus' goodness, then why wouldn't we want to share about that and have the world see that? I watch testimonies quite regularly on Facebook or on Google or a whole bunch of different things about people who are sharing their testimonies. So a couple of things about that, just to make sure that we keep ourselves safe, is just use first names, okay? Try not to use last names. Oh, yeah, Rob Feeney said this the other day and blah, blah, blah. Just, hey, I was out with Rob the other day. Or change the names. You're not lying if you change the names. Good friend of mine, we know Steve Frost. Every newsletter he sends out, he works with the marginalised and the poor. He changes the names of people. And he says these names are changed. So if you don't feel comfortable using the names of people you know, use other names. But don't use last names, just use first names. And try not to share the personal details, okay? So you don't have to say that was my neighbour or that was my sister or that was my brother-in-law. Just say, I know a person. Or I met up with someone the other day or I found someone the other day and this is what happened or I just prayed for someone the other day. You don't have to, just give a bit more thought to what you sharing so that you can just protect people a little bit more. At the end of the day, hear this rightly, I feel as a church we punch way above our weight, but I don't think the whole world either is tuning into our stream every week. So it's kind of, for us, we could be a little bit paranoid about thinking everyone's watching and everyone's going to hear my stuff and story. I really don't think that that's happening. I still think that what we do here is in the context of Grace Point or those that love us and support us and trust us. And I also think that God is bigger than that to overcome things. And I really think the biggest thing is the story of Jesus is far more important than any fear I might have about sharing my testimony. So I just encourage us to not let fear override this situation, but step into sharing the testimony. Because I know Satan's ploy is to stop the testimony of God via fear. And I believe it's possible for us to tell the good news of Jesus in our life. I believe it's possible for us to do it wisely and sensitively, yet powerfully, sometimes emotionally, and definitely declaratively, whatever, with great declaration. Okay.